Tonight, I wanted to ask the question, are you a Samuel or a Saul? So turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Most of us are familiar with this, but I want to look at it again. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here, Saul was commanded by God to destroy the Amalekites. Now, this nation was mercilessly ambushing the people, the Hebrew stragglers, when they had come out of Egypt. They would not relent. They would just continually harass them and take from them and beat them down while they were on their way to Canaan. And so God had had enough, and he gave very clear instruction to Saul to completely or utterly destroy, okay, the Amalekites. So let's take a look at verse 1 of chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel." In other words, God is saying that even though he's been beaten up on you, I've noticed, and I'm going to take a hand in it. How many know that's God's justice? How many know that God will do that for you too? How he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now what did he tell him to do? Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey, everything. What did he say? He said, utterly destroy Amalek. Now, in type, Amalek is the sin nature, the flesh. Amalek is that part of us that's in rebellion to God. And what he's saying is that you cannot compromise with Amalek. You cannot compromise with the flesh, with the devil. Amen? You have to be very severe in the way that you deal with sin. If God tells you to stop, it's because God gives you the grace to stop. There are many people that hear God say stop, but they say, well, I just tried, but I can't. Not going to hold up on judgment day. God would never tell you to stop without granting you the grace to stop. God would never command you to do anything without backing up that command in your life. And so here he was told to completely destroy him. And in verse 4, Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go depart, get down from among the Amalekites." And the Kenites were they were like a nomadic people that would had helped Israel at times. So they found mercy because they were helping out God's people. So he's sending them away and says, "Lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. Now again, what's Saul doing? He's compromising here. He's disobeying the word of the Lord. God said, utterly destroy everything. And utterly destroyed all the peoples with the edge of the sword. But verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and oxen, and the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now that's just like going to one of your children that have purchased questionable DVDs. You discover it, and you're aware of it, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, this is going to bring problems into your life and into our home. I want you to completely get rid of all those DVDs. So, let's call him Johnny, decides to, okay, if I have to, I will. So he grudgingly begins to sort through them and throwing them out. And then he runs across a couple that he knows are questionable. But, oh, the price is a bit high to pay. To give up such a treasured item as such as that. So he decides to take that and just kind of hide it from mom and dad. I'm giving you an illustration. And so, meanwhile, in the natural, of course, mom and dad said, good, he's taking his stuff out in the garbage and he's going to get rid of it and it's going to bring peace back in our home. Well, they don't realize that he has hidden some of that. And later to bring it back out and to watch it again. And thus, the problem continues in the home. How many know that you can bring problems into the home by the things that we allow in our homes? I remember when I was a teenager, my mom was going to pay me to get rid of some of my albums. Because they were so bad, she thought, and they were. Hey, I'll make a little money. I'll get rid of the ones I don't really like that much. But she left it up to me to sort out what I was going to get rid of. We know that mama knows best, daddy knows best. They may have a little more discernment than we have. So even though it may appear like it's not all that bad, if mom or dad says it's not good, we need to maybe consider that maybe they do know what they're talking about afterwards. You know, sometimes God is telling us to deal with something in our lives, but we're just kind of like that kid that says, yeah, but it's not really that big of a deal. What's the harm? A little compromise, you know. Or, God, you're being unreasonable. Now, I'm willing to give up this, but I'm not willing to give up that. That's just asking a little bit too much. But see, Papa God knows his children. He knows what's good for us. And he loves us so much. And he wants us to be blessed. And he wants us to get into a position where we can be a favored child in the household. Amen? Where we can be free of infestation from the enemy. And so he gives us instruction. And if we don't listen to him, you know what I'm talking about. What's happening is you're allowing something in your life that will not only affect you, but it can affect others. See, our sin does not just affect us, but it affects people around us. As a matter of fact, nations become defiled. The land itself becomes defiled because of the sins that the people commit on the land. How many know that it can produce all kinds of problems, drought, can be a result of the sins of the people, bringing a curse upon the land itself, rebels. Why? Because the land was given and placed under the authority of man. And when man rebels against God, it's a trickle-down effect. And people are always blaming God, but it's choices that people make in rebellion to God's instruction that bring about the problems that we see. And why do bad things happen to good people? Could it be the choices that people make out of free will? Yeah. And then God gets blamed because we didn't listen to him in the first place. Did God tell you to make that decision? Or did we just really didn't quite want to wait on God because it just looks so good? Or maybe when we did hear that little small voice, that small, still small voice speaking to us, we just kind of like, I don't want to hear it right now. It's just so cool. I just want it so bad. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, I don't know about acknowledging him in that one because God may say no, and I don't know if I want to pay that price. How many know that the price for disobeying God is always greater than the price for obedience? So Saul made the mistake of assuming that he could just kind of partially obey the instruction of the Lord, and as a result, he kept something that was going to defile the people, you see. Everything had to be purged. It had to be cleansed. How many know it's the same thing in our lives? We have to be pure of heart to see God. And there has to be a cooperation. Yes, it is the grace of God that frees us and cleanses us, but it takes a person to make the decision that I will agree with a voice who's speaking from heaven. That I do not refuse him who speaks from heaven. I'm going to agree with what he says. Place myself under his authority, and then I come into the favor and the blessing of the Lord in my life. And how many know that the blessing and the favor of the Lord doesn't necessarily always look the way we think it should either? How many know that when you go through difficulties, it can be the favor and blessing of the Lord? How many know it's the grace of God when you go through difficulties, because God is getting ready to move you on from glory to glory into another place in Him, because you have proven faithful through the difficult time. You've navigated through the waters. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. He didn't say if, he said when you walk through the waters. He could have kept you out of the waters, but he decided that something is going to be produced in you through that experience that's going to be beneficial for eternity. How many know that we're eternal beings? So our momentary light affliction is working for us a far greater exceeding weight of glory. God is taking us through some stuff because he wants us to be somebody in eternity. But if we compromise, folks, it can cost us greatly. I want you to hear this. It can cost us greatly. Unfortunately, Saul was constantly redefining the Lord's commandments. What was Saul doing? He was doing that which seemed right to him, rather than what God says was best. Saul said, God, I know what you're saying, but to me, this is better. We are not to live by sight. We're not to live by even what seems to be the obvious choice. I've made obvious decisions before because it seems so obvious. Duh. And then later I'm going, duh, what were you thinking? To obey is what finally Samuel confronts Saul. And it cost Saul eventually, you know, his life, his kingdom. He lost the anointing. Samuel was grieved because of this. And in chapter 15 and verse 23, he said this for rebellion. This is what Samuel told Saul, is as the sin of witchcraft. Tell me, you know, there's a lot of witchcraft in the church. People are rebelling against authority. They're rebelling against God's authority. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. How many know the time of making excuses for our stubbornness is over? I don't know how many times I hear, well, I'm just a stubborn person. Well, repent. Stop it. If you know you're stubborn, then you need to repent of it. Don't make excuses for it. Don't give in to it. Say, stubbornness is as idolatry to God. When he's telling me to do something, and I'm being stubborn, folks, what I'm saying is that I don't like the way you do things, God. I don't like what you're telling me to do. So I'm going to do it my way. And again, we know what idolatry is, don't we? It's whenever we try to make God conform to us. It's idolatry. God's ways seem unreasonable at times because our reason doesn't grasp the things of God. Because his ways are higher than our ways. So what we do is we say, because it's unreasonable, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't seem to make sense. How can I give that offering, God? How many has God has ever spoken to you and say, I want you to give an offering of a certain amount? And you're thinking, I just don't have it to give. How many know that sometimes God's going to test you in that? He's going to test you. We rationalize it. Well, let's see. Let me figure this out. Don't work. Faith is not putting faith in what you can see and what you can do and what you can control. Faith is trusting in Him. Amen? In trusting His Word, that you entrust the integrity of God, you trust His heart, you know that He is worthy to be trusted. Amen? And that when God tells you to do something, He would never take away from His children. He may ask you to make a sacrifice, but a sacrifice is really not anything that you lose. A sacrifice will always be rewarded because God is in the sacrifice. And sometimes a sacrifice is literally a investment. And what happens is because we don't see things right away, we don't see fruit. And I'm not here to talk about finance tonight, but it can apply, folks. I'm talking about obeying God, trusting God's heart, doing what He tells us to do. No compromise to the word of the Lord. Saul compromised, he lost his anointing. Samuel, it says that he grieved all night over the loss because of what had happened to Saul. Samuel's heart was broken. He didn't rejoice because, oh, that rebel king finally got what's coming to him. Even when a brother and sister fail, we should never rejoice. We should never wish that a brother or sister should fail just because they've fallen out of harmony with us. Instead, Samuel's heart was broken. And he wept. And the Lord told him, Samuel, I'm replacing him. I want you to fill your horn with oil. He was going to send him to Jesse to anoint David as king. Samuel obeyed the Lord and filled his horn with oil. Are you with me? There's a blessing in obedience. Do you want a greater anointing? Be faithful with what you have now. We pray, God, I want a greater anointing. Why? Because the bride cries out for fruitfulness. We all cry out, we want to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit, Lord. Why? To honor God? And because of that, God says, okay, here's some. Be faithful with that. If you prove yourself in that, I'll give you some more. But if you compromise and you disobey me, even what you seem to have will be taken away and given to someone who has. Isn't that what Jesus said? So I say, oh God, I sometimes ponder this. You know, am I being obedient? In a loving way, because I want to please my God. I want to love on my God. I want to prove my love for Him. Amen? To obey, He said, is better than sacrifice. And that's verse 22. And to listen is better than that of fat of rams. As people sometimes will come and they will bring God even financial gifts and offerings. I want you to hear that. Sometimes people will come out with offerings of praise and thanksgiving to God. Are you with me? And yet in the areas that God is telling them, I want you to deal with this, they are disobedient. And God is saying, I would rather that you trusted me enough to listen to what I say and to know that I love you enough that I wouldn't ask you to give that up if it wasn't going to be for your better. Amen? To give you a better end. And so when we don't trust God, we're not really believing God. And when we compromise what He's telling us to do, we are shutting the door to the blessing of God to flow into our lives. Because we're not getting ourselves in the position for the blessing. If we want a greater anointing, then we're going to have to prove that we're going to be faithful with what we have now. You see, there are too many Christians that are sitting around doing very little of anything with what they have and just praying, God, give me more. God, give me more. Well, what are you doing with what you have now? Now, we're working people here. But we need to ask the question, am I compromising the word of the Lord for my life? Am I okay to settle for what I think is best? Or I'm all in and I'm saying, God, what do you say is best? Am I just here so that I can have my Christian walk in comfort? Or am I willing, if God tells me to do something that's going to cause discomfort in my life, that may cause pain in my life, am I willing to obey Him in that? Isn't it true that Paul was willing, amen, to suffer for Jesus because he was sold out? He said it didn't matter what it was. He just prayed that God's grace would be rich in his life so that he can continue to do what God called him to do, and at the end of his life have achieved the will of God. Amen, have completed the will of God for his life. Even when he knew it would cost him. Even when he knew that persecution and chains that awaited him, it did not deter him from going to Jerusalem. Amen? Paul. What about you? What about me? What are we willing to do for God? Are we willing to be obedient even when it means difficulty and persecution? If we don't come to this place, folks, then we will compromise. And as long as we compromise, we're not going to be productive. We're not going to bear fruit. Amen? And we're not going to bring pleasure to our Father, because what we're saying when we compromise is that I'm not trusting you enough. I'm not believing you to this degree. I'll believe you to this, but I'm not going to believe you for that. And it's an insult to our Father when we don't trust Him. What is God really looking for? What is it that really pleases God? Is it not our faith? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is saying, I believe you to the degree that I have committed my life. I know whom I believe in. I'm persuaded. Amen. All the way. My Savior leads me. There's no turning back, no looking back. When things get rough, I know Jesus is with me. He says, when I'm in the water, He's going to walk with me. He's going to get me through it. And on the other side is resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen? Sometimes there's going to be a death to things in your life. There's going to be things that are going to be removed from your life. But it's because God is weaning you off some things. He's pruning your life. He's getting you into a place where you'll bear more fruit. And it's painful for a season, but eventually the harvest comes in, the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Paul didn't walk around dejected all the time. He went from glory to glory, from joy to joy. They were even joyful when they were flogged for Jesus, because they're in the will of God. Lord, consume us with your love. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Are we a Saul or a Samuel? Saul compromised and lost the anointing. Samuel obeyed and received a greater anointing. One more illustration. This is a very clear one. Most of us are very familiar with this, but we all remember Samson. Samson, as long as he was in the will of God and he walked with God and he believed God and he did what God told him to do, he was victorious. He did things that no man had ever been able to do. And then the time came when he began to compromise. He began to shift away from trust in God to self. And for the acceptance of Delilah, he lost the anointing. You know what? Isn't it true that many Christians won't obey if it means rejection from peers? Folks, let me just say this. That if your peers will reject you for following Christ, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. Many Christians won't obey if there's personal discomfort involved. Or inconvenience. Oh, God, I don't want to do that. How many have ever had the Lord speak to you in a time where you just didn't feel like it? Everybody. Sometimes we're tested in that. Will we put him first? Ah. There's, see, God's in that sacrifice. He takes note of that. You were willing to put me before even your own comfort. Even when it was an inconvenience, you still obeyed me. Huh? Go get some more oil. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You're either in this all the way, folks, or you might as well just, you know. How many know that God's not going to let you just kind of hang out in the middle somewhere? You may be there for a season, but eventually, either you're going to be in or you're going to be spit out. That's what he said. So no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Why? Because if you're plowing, you're in a straight line. Amen. You know where you're going. You're watching where you're going. But you start to look back, you're going to get off course. You're going to make a mess of things. Now, this is the question that I want to finish with tonight. Why do you guys suppose that the church in America is so powerless? Could it be due to idolatry? Yeah. We don't want to choose the God of the Bible, so we kind of alter God into a God that fits us. A God who tolerates anything. The God of tolerance. Compromise. A divided heart. If you and I are determined to live the will of God, then we cannot live to please people. There's a price to pay to obey God. Even Paul said it, "The more that I love, the less I'm loved." People sometimes will literally hate you because you tell them the truth. But if you love, you've got to speak the truth in love. Amen? And put it out there. We can't watch the dying man drown if we've got a lifesaver in our hands. "Well, I didn't want the blue one. I wanted the green one." Grab a hold of the lifesaver, you know? Yeah. Hello! But when we confront, we always do it in the spirit of meekness, gentleness, respect, but we need to be firm. We need to call it what it is. It's yes and no. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Otherwise, you're opening the door for compromise and for evil to come in and operate in the gray area. And you start inoculating people to the point where they become passive and just kind of hanging out in the middle. They've got inoculated to receiving the truth. I believe tonight that we are a congregation of Samuels. That we're here and we want to make our Father rejoice over His children. We want to join together with Jesus. Amen. And destroying the works of the devil. And you can't do that if you're compromising with him. You've got to end this, man. Whose team are you on? Who is on the Lord's team? Amen. Who shall I send? Who will go? And we're all in. Would you bow your heads tonight just for a moment? The Lord said that I did not come into the world to condemn the world. So if we pick up condemnation from this tonight in any way, know that that's not the source, that's not from God. We are admonishing one another. We are stimulating one another, encouraging one another. We are building one another. We are redirecting at times one another so that we can move together in the direction of the will of God for us. That we can bear fruit, bring glory and pleasure to the Father, destroy the works of the devil, and advance His kingdom in the earth. So if you feel tonight just maybe guilt that's come over you or condemnation, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking and he's saying, listen, let's reason together here. Let's just come together and agree on this. And I say, Lord, I come to you and I acknowledge, Lord, that I fail you, that there's times when I compromise. But Lord, I don't ever want to compromise. I want to live for you. I want to be found true. I want to be faithful to the end. Lord, forgive me for the times I've compromised to please man, the times I haven't listened to your voice. I thank you that your amazing grace is available to me right now. And I plead the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord. Purify my heart. Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill my cup, Lord. Bring me into the position, into the place where I need to be, Lord, where I'll be all in, sold out, no turning back. Thank you, Jesus, that you receive me, that you do forgive me, and that I am now forgiven according to your word. Now teach us, Lord, to walk in your steps, to walk in your paths every day. God, as a church, that we will not be a compromised church, Lord, but we will be a church that is fully committed to the way forward. And we can only do that by your grace. Father, we ask you for grace. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your grace. All you got to do is say, Lord, I receive your grace. Thank you for your grace. Your grace is enough. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Lord, give us the strength to stand, to not compromise. When Jesus spelled out what true discipleship meant, many no longer followed him. And folks, I'd rather have, I'm not saying it's going to remain this way, but I'd rather have a handful of people that are sold out for Jesus, that are true disciples, than a church full of people who are lukewarm and compromising. Are you with me? We're Gideon's army. God is putting something together. And there's more that he's bringing. They're coming in because they're sick and tired of the status quo, of the way things have been. They're sick and tired of sitting in lukewarmness and in apathy, complacency. They're just sick and tired of an unfulfilled, joyless existence. And God is calling his people, amen, into the fullness of who he is. And we're going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, and we're going to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's going to do it through a remnant people. He's gleaning a harvest throughout the earth. There are going to be many that will come. Many are called, few are chosen. But I say, Lord, we want to be in that number, amen. We want to be in Gideon's army. Hallelujah. We want to live in readiness and responsiveness to your voice to do exactly what you say, even if it means I'm going to be uncomfortable, you know, or even maybe painful. So we know that the Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. And whatever you do for the Lord in obedience, he will always repay you way beyond what you invested. But whenever we compromise, folks, and what we try to save through compromise, even if it means faith, saving faith, you'll always pay a greater price for disobedience. So it's worth it.